Welcome to the Enterprise Mobility Roundup podcast, brought to you by Blue Fletch. We discuss technology topics related to Android and workforce devices and how they intersect with business and mobility.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Blue Fletch Enterprise Mobility Roundup podcast. Today I'm joined by Jim Sermonette from Zebra. Jim is one of the managers over the software portfolio. And I'm looking for you to give some clarification. I think you guys are rebranding a lot of things right now. So maybe you could tell me a bit about what you focus on at Zebra and then also your group, what that is now, what that's doing within the organization.
Okay, sure. Thanks, Brett. Jim Sermonette, Director of Sales on Zebra's software solution side of the house. So I lead a team of software sellers focused on a pretty significant geography through the Southeast and into the central area as well. We're responsible now for the entire software portfolio. And as you pointed out, we're in the midst of releasing some new branding. It's going to be officially announced in September at Zones, our upcoming customer user group. So very excited about that. So we're going from the legacy names of ZRS Smart Count, kind of the Reflexis branding around workforce management, task management, and the ProfitTech branding around ZPA. And we're gonna release it as the Zebra Work Cloud. So where it's going to be workforce automation, work cloud, scheduling, timekeeping, work cloud task, the enterprise collaboration suite, which is going to be work cloud communications. There's going to be inventory optimization, which is made up of actionable intelligence, inventory visibility, inventory planning, and inventory ordering. And then demand intelligence is going to become forecasting and analysis. So it's all part of our modern store framework, which was announced in January at NRF. So very excited about some of these changes that are coming. So, we all know that more is being asked of everyone in the retail world, and we're working to deliver outcomes around that. So thanks for asking.
Are you guys selling it any differently? So as you start, rebranding, is it still selling individual components? Is it more of a suite style selling? Do you guys have a plan around that yet? Or is that yet to be announced?
Yeah. So it's the answer to your question technically is a little bit of both. There's still a lot of one-off, project specific sales engagements that we have, but there's absolutely kind of a trend or a wave to go to, I don't want to overuse the term bundle, but the goal is, customers are looking to have scale with us. They're looking for savings or efficiencies. And the more that we can leverage our entire portfolio together, the better result or the better outcome.
Got it. And for that portfolio, is there right now, part of the portfolio is stronger and the other parts are growing? What does that look like from a mix of usage across your different customers, or is it very wildly?
Yeah. So that's a good question. And I'm going to give you the sales guy answer. We have a lot of activity across the board. There's a lot of excitement about some of the changes that have been underway under the course of the past year or so. If I had to pick one that seems to be the low hanging fruit, I'm going to probably tie it to, inventory related activities. There's been sort of a groundswell since COVID of people who are having challenges working with third party entities to be able to conduct inventories, labor's difficult to manage. It's not very reliable depending on a third party. The quality of individuals that you get, may or may not be what you want or hope. The number of people that show up might not be what your contract, indicates. And then they might not actually be on time. So that scheduling nightmare becomes a problem. So we have a self-directed, self-scanning inventory solution that's really been lighting it up the past couple of years.
Nice. For that inventory solution, it's mainly scanning. Are you guys doing anything around the RFID space with those tools, or is that still mainly the warehouse on the Zebra side?
Yeah. So we are obviously, Zebra's a large player in the RFID space. So we have conversations around that pretty regularly. The demand for RFID inventories as a service is not quite there yet, but we're poised when the time is right.
Got it. Yeah. And I'm assuming a lot of the compliance issues around FSMA and a lot of the food safety, especially in the grocery space, I'm sure we'll push that down in the next couple of years.
Absolutely. I was in a meeting earlier this week and that was a large topic. The number of people that are impacted by those new regulations coming down and actually the adoption that they have to have, I think in about 2 years, it's real and people have a lot of work to do to be able to be compliant.
Got it. So you mentioned some of the struggles specifically around employees and finding the right workers, like what is the biggest on the technology side? What are some of the biggest struggles you see? Is it all related to the operational side and just staffing right now? Is that the biggest struggle retailers are having?
Yeah. I think that retailers are being asked to do a lot. And there's still in certain areas, certain markets, certain segments, supply chain constraints and being able to deliver, goods on time or as expected. The labor piece is huge because, it's tough to get labor. It's tough to retain labor and loyalty seems to be a thing of the past in that regard. So those are some of the key things that we see. And then there's budgets. The kind of macroeconomic climate is, depending on where you stand, a little uncertain at times. So we're seeing some projects push or slow down. And the needs aren't changing for these customers. Their ability to deliver or execute their bandwidth, that's changing. But their access to funds is limited at times.
Yeah, capital's a lot more expensive right now. One of the things you mentioned was around the inventory accuracy pieces. I know this is a big issue for a lot of retailers, just based on the fact that if you don't know what's in the store, you can't do e-commerce, you can't do a lot of these advanced functionalities. Like, what is there a difference for inventory accuracy across different segments of retail? So grocery versus, I'll call it QSR, this quasi-retail, but are there certain segments where inventory is a lot more important than others?
No, I think to your point, I mean, e-commerce is here to stay. You see more and more retailers popping up, making investments in parking lots, for instance, on, buy online, pick up at store or curbside. And inventory is at the core of that. You know, it's center stage when it comes to being able to fulfill orders. It's be able to fulfill orders properly, to be able to have the right associates in place to execute against that. So it all starts with a good inventory. And traditional retailers are still doing annual physical inventories. What we're seeing now is the addition in traditional large kind of big box retailers, the inclusion of cycle counts or frequent counts. So there might be certain departments or certain areas that need to be counted more regularly. And then in grocery stores, they've always done center store a couple times a year. But we're working with a couple large grocers as well, trying to figure out how we can improve on that. Now that more associates have mobile devices in their hands than ever, they're able to leverage those to their advantage. You know, it's a great way for them to get a better return on investment because they're finding other ways to use those tools or to use those people to get more out of them, to make them more productive, to make them more efficient, whatever the case may be.
Yeah. Do you you touched on this, like the curbside and the BOPUS. I feel like BOPUS is still very, very big, the buy online, pick up in store, click and collect, whatever your terminology is for it. But the curbside delivery and the home delivery, have you seen that waning in retail in the last year, just with people getting back into stores and wanting that engagement?
Yeah, I think there's always going to be a market. I'm old school. I showed up today with a pad of paper and a pen and notes. I'm always going to be the guy who goes into the store, but there's a whole generation of people that they don't want any of that interaction. They want the convenience of not talking to anyone and showing up. So, I just think about the stores near where I live, big investments at a local Target store. I mean, they've put in 30 parking spots at the Target just dedicated to curbside. So, I think it's here to stay also. It's just, how people are able, again, it comes back to that bandwidth, that focus, that ability to be able to invest in that area. Target happens to have, mobile devices in the hands of all their associates. They have push-to-talk functionality. They can actually execute better than the average customer might be able to because they've got big budgets and they've got a lot of bright minds over there.
Yeah. A follow-on question on the inventory accuracy, as you're talking about that, made me think, I know Zebra has invested a substantial amount in robotics and also in fixed scanners and readers. I know you guys, two acquisitions you guys made last year around that. Is that going to make its way into retail? I think right now it's mainly in warehouses and manufacturing. Is that going to make its way into retail where you start seeing more robotics and vision in stores to help with the inventory accuracy?
Yeah. So again, I think you're spot on. Today, the greatest advantage is in warehouses, particularly around the robots. If
if Jim and Brett spend 5 minutes pushing a cart from one side of a warehouse or a DC to the other, that's, you know, significant in size, that's lost time that we could be doing something more productive. So using robots to assist with things like that is certainly more prevalent now than it has ever been. And I think there's probably a little bit of work before there's adoption actually in a store before we go into some retailers and see them, other than maybe, do it yourself sort of warehouse stores. But I think it's something we'll see here in the next 5 to 10 years.
Be coming. All right. Jim says it's coming. It's going to happen. Another question I had for retailers, you mentioned this, like that having these new devices, trying to get employees to, or using more technology or giving more technology to employees. Do you have any, what I call like pro tips for companies that are trying to get new technology out and trying to get it in the hands of customers? I just feel like all these projects take forever and they're capital intensive, time intensive. Is there anything you've seen that's worked well or better amongst some of your customers or partners?
Yeah, I think that's pretty simple. And you just, you think about what we're doing today, and I just recommend people to lean on the partners or the vendors that they trust. We all have that trusted network of people that are proven and reliable. So you use BlueFledge for an example. I've known you guys now for over 10 years, nothing but positive engagements with several customers, both professionally and on a personal level. So I think that if you need help, that you turn on those trusted and reliable partners and vendors.
Got it. And the I guess best way to do that is just ask who other people use. Is that the easy way?
I mean, it's really kind of funny. I joke internally around the fact that everybody wants a reference, but not everybody wants to be a reference. You know, we get RFPs and RFIs. And it's amazing, you know, the work that goes into getting somebody to the point where there'll be a reference and how important that is. But then after we complete a sale or we onboard somebody, hey, will you be a reference for us? Lots of times people say, oh, we're not allowed to do that. But it was part of your decision criteria. But yes, take it to heart. Figure out the people who have already climbed that hill or moved that rock before you, and figure out how you might be able to leverage their success to your advantage.
Yeah, get a little scale there. I guess the other thing I had around implementing new technology is around ROI. A lot of customers you mentioned this really, like it's getting tight. Yeah, tighten the belts or the purse strings. Are there certain things you've seen? Technologies that help get to ROI faster for customers, like the low-hanging fruits for how do I just get more money out of my investments?
Yeah, so Zebra's in a unique position being both a significant player in the software space and the hardware space. So we have tremendous collaboration internally with our counterparts on the core Zebra side around their customer engagement and customer projects. Because what we're seeing, and to your point, I alluded to it earlier, we're seeing more mobile devices in the hands of associates than ever before. Sometimes those are significant investments for the retailers. So what can they do with that? Now that they've made that investment, how do they use it to their advantage? So whether that's task management, workforce management, push to talk, inventory, just finding ways to make them more productive, more efficient, more reliable. At the end of the day, it makes for a better not only customer experience, but it makes for a better experience for the associates because they're more engaged and they feel more empowered to be able to help. And we hear stories about retailers that actually use those sorts of discussions as recruiting tools or differentiators when they're looking to hire people. And again, it ties back to our modern store sort of framework, if you will. Engaged associates, optimized inventory, and customer experience are the three key tenets of that. And so being able to tie it all together, I think, is really important.
Can you speak to, I know with the engaged associates, one of the things, I think we have two big customers in common that are using the Workstation Connect Cradles, which is like you take a mobile device, you can drop it in, it's connected to the screen, and then allows you to actually do desktop-like functionality. And I think the idea is, can you replace desktops with mobile devices? I feel like a lot of customers have sort of done this even without the Workstation Connect. Are you seeing that be a bigger trend where not having any sort of workstation, like PCs, and then just having a cradle in the store to be able to use that? Or is that something that's still coming in the next year or two?
Yeah. So, pardon me. I think the adoption of that is on the rise. I was in Chicago this week for a customer meeting, and there was a big discussion around that. They were talking about using Workforce Connect around a tablet to be able to use that in lieu of some of the green screens that have historically been in the back of some of their stores. And so, again, kind of like previous comment, I think that the adoption is not quite there yet. There's a few early adopters, but we're continuing to refine what those tools look like and the use cases. And I think that we're on the cusp of some exciting stuff. Yeah. Because to your point, it becomes a multifaceted device. They can use it for assisted selling. They can use it on the store floor, and then they can use it when needed for other purposes, essentially like a laptop.
Yeah, connect it up to a keyboard and be able to use all their office apps on there. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty slick, slick technology. You haven't seen it yet. The next thing I guess I had questions on was around hurdles within the IT organizations or within operations at your clients. Are there things that you see are the biggest hurdles for getting this new technology from a structure standpoint that's out there?
Yeah. In a word, when it comes to the hurdles, I would really just say it's focus, because there's so many competing projects, and there's oftentimes fewer people to deliver or to execute on those projects. So even when something's a high priority or they have an existing solution that's not working well, the customers just don't have the time or the energy or the focus, the bandwidth to make that change. So, they're struggling with budgets, they're struggling with people, and therefore kind of the execution, suffers as a result of that.
Yeah. I know I've definitely seen a lot of that in the last three quarters. I feel like if you follow CNBC and the jobs numbers, it looks like job numbers are good, but I think for a lot of the clients that I've worked with specifically, they had lots of layoffs that are, I call them quiet layoffs, where you just don't see it on the news. It's nothing you've seen out there, but it's been big in the last three quarters for a lot of our customers that are struggling to have the people to do it. Are there, the prioritizing and focus, a lot of that is just like you have to like figure out what's priority versus what's not, and then just push those things off to the backlog. Is that the way to handle that?
Yeah. I mean, Zebra's approach is really to focus on the outcomes and figure out, what customers are trying to ultimately do, what's important to them, those pain points or whatever the case may be. And then tie the solutions or the prioritization from our side, to the customer schedule to deliver against that.
Yeah. So look at your pain and then go solve for the pain.
Yep.
I guess just future looking, I know we talked about the robotics piece, but what other trends do you think we're going to see in resale over the next 3 to 5 years? I think the last 2 years have been a lot of the BOPIS, inventory accuracy. Is AI the next thing, or what is the next 2 to 5 years look like?
I mean, AI, it's here. Everybody's talking about it. It's funny. We got some jokes this week in that meeting. I mentioned about our rebranding efforts, and they said, oh, is it going to be .AIs, and they were surprised that we didn't find a way to incorporate it into our names or nomenclature. But it's here. There's a ton of interest around it. And, what we currently use it in certain applications to help with trends and to help with patterns. And, people are becoming more and more comfortable with it. And they're not doubting it or questioning it. So I expect this, to also grow exponentially in the field, in the near future. And then beyond that, just some of the other things that we're seeing, mobility continues to be very important, because it helps so much with productivity, locationing, RFID. I've been at this now for about 15 years. Next year is always going to be the year for RFID, but with some of the food safety concerns, I believe that that's going to continue to drive down some of the costs around, tags and the overall adoption. The more people that are buying sensors and what have you, it'll become more affordable. It'll become more mainstream. AI, of course. And then really the continued proliferation around task management and being able to put, to track people's activities or behaviors, while they're at work, so that, hey, Brett, these are the five things I need you to do today. These, this is the priority, when it's done, and you're completing those tasks appropriately.
Yeah. For I guess, accessories. I know one of the things I've seen come out of Zebra is you guys have new ring scanners, smaller form factor computers that are wrist, I call them wrist wear, but they're small enough to be attached to your fingers or hands. And then you guys had done, I'm going to call it Google Glass, but like the AR, VR. Is there anything around that space that you see is going to have a big uptick in the next 2 years, or is that still further out for us to have the Minority Report effect?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things at play there, in my opinion, and I'm by no means an expert in that area, but I think there's a lot of voice of the customer activity going, hey, it would be great if we could do this, and what would this look like, and trying to stay in front of the curve. But some of that technology carries a pretty expensive price tag. So there's a balance there. But again, I believe the more comfortable people become with AI, VR, AR, whatever the case may be. When you look out 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, that's directionally where we're going to be. And I think Zebra's positioned in a good spot because we're already there with some of those solutions. And we'll continue to refine it. You and I can think about our first generation Android mobile computer. Was it perfect? No, but we learned a lot by that. And we made up a lot of ground in the industry and, kind of credibility with the customers by where we were going directionally with that product. And now, the rest is all history. We've done a really nice job.
It's a hell of a lot better than Windows CE devices, though, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
no, it's pretty awesome. And then I think the, for other areas, the tablet for future use of tablets, I'm starting to see more tablets that are coming out. Versus handhelds. What are you seeing in retail around tablets? I feel like a lot of it's like warehouses or managers. Is that going to get down to employees, or employees still going to have handsets and smaller form factors?
Yeah. I mean, I had the luxury of seeing the whole portfolio, presented this week, and I wasn't even aware of the different shapes, sizes, capabilities, not just for retail or healthcare or whatever the case may be, going into public safety. So the drop specs, and from 8 inches to whatever, there's conversations about, do we need an even larger form factor tablet? So again, trying to deliver on voice of the customer needs. But yes, I mean, they continue to get lighter. Which was one of the early problems. Just they were heavy and they were cumbersome, although they served a purpose. But being able to have a whole tablet portfolio, interchangeable batteries, scanners built in, kind of the durability or the mil specs, it's the customers are asking for it. And to your point, we're doing more with managers with tablets typically, or area leaders with tablets. And I think you'll continue to see the proliferation as they become more mainstream and the use cases change. Again, think about using it, in a station to be able to also be your laptop in a back room or in the back of a warehouse or something like that. It's coming. It's coming.
Yeah, they can take a licking. Definitely. Yeah. That's the one thing I feel like my kids have broken way too many iPads. Yeah. And I've never seen a ET40 broken at all. No, it's definitely. And if you ever get a chance as a customer, if you can go to the Long Island Holtsville office, you guys have your testing facilities there, which is like, what is it, like a big dryer they put it in that tumbles.
Tumbles it around,
A thousand tumbles, take it out, make sure it still works. It's actually a really cool operation if you get a chance to.
I totally agree. It doesn't sound like it, but when you actually watch somebody take a piece of technology and put it in a machine to tumble it or to drop it 1,000 times and then comes out and works just fine. It's pretty impressive. It brings out the kid in you a little bit.
Yeah. It's good stuff. So I think just a key wrap up points, I think as Jim talked about looking at, solving the pain points first, using that to identify how you prioritize things. Yeah. I think the issues we're going to have around labor and employees, using tools to help overcome that is another big thing. And then, for you guys, you're releasing your new portfolio and rebranding, which will come out in September of 23. So take a look at that if you're going to the Zones conference. Jim, if people wanted to find out more about Zebra and your group, where would they take a look for that?
Yeah. You can reach out to me directly. I'm on LinkedIn. Or you can email me james.sermonet@zebra.com. I'm happy to help any way I can.
Got it. The modern store initiatives you guys have, that's all on the Zebra homepage right now. So take a look at that.
Front and center on the homepage.
go search for Modern Store on the Zebra website.
Yeah.
Excellent. Jim, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thanks, Brett.
Appreciate it.
Great to be here. Thank you.
And if anyone has any questions, please follow up with Jim, or if you have questions for us, Paul at info@bluefletch.com. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Enterprise Mobility Roundup podcast. If you enjoyed the discussion, please take a few moments to rate us. If you would like to listen to future episodes, please subscribe. To learn more about mobility topics or submit any questions, visit us at bluefletch.com.